You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Intense pregnancy itching might be a sign of a serious condition called cholestasis of pregnancy. In this episode, I'm joined by Donna Benavides, founder of the nonprofit ICP Care, to talk about her personal journey after tragically losing her first son due to cholestasis of pregnancy. Donna shares critical insights about symptoms to watch for, the importance of self-advocacy, and how to get the right care. If you or someone you love is pregnant, this is an episode you absolutely need to hear. Welcome to the Birth with Power podcast, where knowledge is power and power transforms birth. I'm Dr. Nicole Calloway-Rankins, mom of two and practicing board-certified OBGYN with over 20 years of experience and nearly 2,000 births attended. I've seen firsthand how the hospital system can leave women feeling unheard and uncertain, but that doesn't have to be your story. Here, you'll get the knowledge, support, and strategies to take charge of your birth experience so you can walk into the hospital feeling calm, confident, and empowered. Note, this podcast is for educational purposes only, and it's not a substitute for medical advice. See the full disclaimer at drnicolerankins.com/disclaimer. Now let's get to it. Hey, if you're not getting the Birth with Power brief in your inbox each week, you are missing out. It's my free newsletter with trusted tips, mindset shifts, and birth prep strategies to help you feel calm and confident without doom scrolling for answers. Go to drnicolerankins.com/email and get on the list. Hello there. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. This is episode number 300. Whether this is your first time listening or you've been here before, I'm so glad you're spending a bit of your time with me today. This episode is a deeply personal and powerful one. I'm joined by Donna Benavides, a mother, advocate, and founder of ICP Care, a nonprofit dedicated to raising awareness about intrahepatic cholestasis of pregnancy, or ICP. After experiencing this condition and the heartbreaking loss of her first son, Jordan, Donna has spent more than a decade empowering families with information, resources, and community. In honor of ICP Awareness Month, which happens in June, Donna is here to share what everyone should know about this rare but potentially dangerous pregnancy complication. You'll learn the signs and symptoms, what testing and treatment involve, how to advocate for yourself, and how ICP can affect future pregnancies. If you're pregnant, planning to be, this is must-know information to help you protect your baby and your peace of mind. Let's get into the conversation with Donna. Thank you so much, Donna, for agreeing to come onto the podcast. I'm really excited to have you talk about this topic of cholestasis and pregnancy. As we were chatting before we started, I haven't talked about it before.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be able to share with you and also to all your audience, your listeners. Yeah. It's so very important. It's and it is rather rare, but not really.
Yeah.
As yeah. You know, awareness is
agree,
key.
Agree. So why don't you start off by telling us about yourself and your family and what led you to this work?
Yeah, so I'm a mother who experienced intrahepatic cholestasis pregnancy, and I've been blessed, thankfully, with two healthy teens, my sons Brandon and Evan. And I have an angel baby. His name is Jordan. I'm a passionate advocate helping those affected with, you know, intrahepatic cholestasis of pregnancy, because it's so important to spread the word, you know, share evidence-based information, and to provide emotional support to all those affected, and to know they are not alone in this experience, because it's quite anxiety and emotional just to know the risks that are involved with the cold cesarean pregnancy. Yeah. And I'm the founder of ICP Care, 501c3 nonprofit. I'm celebrating our 11th year, actually, as a 501c3 status.
Oh, nice. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So, yes, and people will hear in the intro that you did create this nonprofit. And was it your let me back up and say, can you share a little bit about your experience with cholestasis, and then what about it led you to start this nonprofit? Because a lot of times people have experiences, but they don't necessarily start, you know, an organization afterwards. So what was your experience, and then what led you to start the nonprofit?
Well, my story is one that is, I have an angel baby, so you can kind of already gather what occurred. Mm-hmm. So in my story, I was pregnant with my first son in 2002. And you know, what led me to start the nonprofit was to help other families from experience the loss of a baby from stillbirth risk of cholestasis pregnancy that I lived. And my firstborn son, Jordan, passed away due to ICP 21 years ago. Yeah. It's 21 years ago. I can't believe it's just time has really gone by so yeah. fast, but not yeah. really. And so I began to, you know, and it's in my experience, I was always a healthy person, very healthy. I began to feel an intense itch at 33 weeks of pregnancy, and I was diagnosed somewhat late at 36 weeks because, you know, pregnancy itch is rather normal, you know, but this isn't. And my doctor at 35 weeks had suggested a blood work just to kind of rule out this high-risk pregnancy condition that, again, is rather rare. And this was 21 years ago. And I was, I had the bile acid blood test, and my levels were quite high. They were severe. And, he unfortunately had passed away at 37 weeks and on June 10th of 2003. Mm. And just a little bit, to give you a little bit of sure. background on me, being just healthy, and this was just being pregnant and having this kind of thrown on me. I was just, and we were just like, what? So, you know, based on the research that was available in that time and what I found online, and based on, you know, past experience and the expertise of my doctors, you know, I was going to a really well-known, you know, doctor group. Mm-hmm. I was, like, convinced, and I, you know, I was a very positive person. I was just like, okay, you know, everything's going to be fine. We're good. You know, we're diagnosed. We're doing things right. So, you know, continued monitoring pregnancy. We had decided early delivery was going to be occurring at 38 weeks. There was medicine that was available, but I wasn't offered it. And again, this was 21 years ago. Things are quite different sure. now. And, you know, so I soon learned the untimely truth of everything that, you know, although you're diagnosed, although you feel like your doctor may know and you feel like you've researched some, you know, some healthcare providers aren't completely educated, even to this day, you know, or up to date or aware of, you know, the proper treatment and management of cholestasis pregnancy. And a lot of times we have to advocate for ourselves and, you know, this is really why just really having the nonprofit exists to help families prevent, you know, losing their baby like I did, and to really have them feel supported and heard and be able to advocate for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Definitely. So why don't we talk about some basics of what is intrahepatic cholestasis of pregnancy? And I'm going to shorten it just to cholestasis just for simplicity's sake. But what is it? And it's kind of hard to describe. So,
yes, yes. So so ICP is just the shorter version of what it's called, the cholestasis of pregnancy, cholestasis, exactly. So it's a family of liver disorders that occur only during pregnancy. And it's characterized by elevated bile acids tests. So it's blood test in patients. And ICP can pose a risk to the unborn baby. And the worst case scenario risk is stillbirth, which is what I experienced. And so ICP is caused by a genetic predisposition paired with hormonal and environmental. So it's multifactorial. But it is genetic, does have genetic predisposition.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And then what are some, you described one of the most common symptoms that people have, but what are some of the symptoms of ICP that people need to be aware of who are listening?
So the primary symptom, and often only the only symptom that women have in cholestasis or pregnancy, is moderate to intense itching, and it can vary. And often the itching is mainly in the hands, wrists, ankles, mm-hmm. feet. However, it can actually occur all over the body. And one of the things that some of our community members have really expressed is, you know, just really unusual places that they may feel itching, which you'd think is like uncommon, like the scalp, their inner ear, their right. tongue. So again, it could just be, you know, sure. anywhere. And many people experience worsening of the itching at night. And so other symptoms that may be present, but not necessarily, is right upper quadrant mm-hmm. pain. So pain in the area where the gallbladder and the liver is. Also dark urine can be a symptom, and pale stool, and very rarely with jaundice.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But the itching is going to be the thing that tips people off. So I want to quickly answer how common is it, and then I want to get to if someone starts to have itching, what would you recommend that they do? So first, why don't we talk about how common is cholestasis?
Well, based on research that's currently available, it's anywhere from 1 to 2 pregnancies in 1,000 that are affected in mm-hmm. the U.S. And Latinas are 5.6% more prevalent to have cholestasis. And that's kind of where I mm-hmm. fall into, because I'm right. Latina. And so it is higher. And of course, in the U.K., there's a different percentage that's out there. However, it is somewhat uncommon, but it is, it is something that itching during pregnancy, like I said before, is common. But this itching is quite different because it can be really intense, yeah. especially at night. And it's just something that is very unusual. You think you have something wrong with the product you're using mm-hmm. on your skin, or maybe there's mm-hmm. bed bugs. that's how unusual right. it is. It's just very
right.
unusual.
Right. Itching. Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to describe. I didn't have cholestasis with either one of my pregnancies, but having taken care of people with it and hearing them describe how intense the itching is, it's not just like, a little something, and it's almost overwhelming in a way. Like, it's a very intense itching for sure.
It's yeah. so intense. It mm-hmm. can actually make you feel like you're losing mm-hmm. your mind in a mm-hmm. sense. It's just really, really. It can be really, really
yeah.
bad.
Yeah. So if someone says, okay, they're at a certain point in pregnancy and it's like, oh my goodness, this itching, what's going on? What do you recommend that folks do?
I definitely recommend for them to speak to their doctor, or just communication overall with your healthcare provider is just so critical. And then, being heard and just having a healthcare provider that's receptive and really open. And, first thing is to allow them to know that you're itching, and this itching is just really mm-hmm. unusual and it's intense. And they will more than likely be aware of a cholestasis pregnancy and have blood tests drawn. And the two blood tests that are important are bile acids and liver functions. And if indeed they may not request a blood test, then you're able to research on your own and be your mm-hmm. own advocate for you and your baby, and request a blood test. And then from there, once a blood test, does come back with the results, you have more answers and you can talk more with your healthcare provider. And then if indeed, because we do find this in our community and this does happen, if indeed your blood results come back normal and you still have the intense itching, that's mm-hmm. a red flag. So you have to have another blood test and just request it. And you have to just be, again, on top of your health and advocate for yourself. Because sometimes it can take a few blood tests for it to show as diagnosable levels within the bile acids in your bloodstream.
Thank you. That's a really important point that I want people to make sure that they hear, is that you can have cholestasis and have normal blood work. It may take some time for the results to reflect what's going on. And sometimes it may take like 3 or 4 days for the results to come back, things like that. So sometimes we have to treat it or diagnose it based on symptoms and just like the persistence of it. But this is not like a one and done kind of thing. Oh, we checked it. It's fine. If it continues, then we really need to continue to reevaluate. So that's just a really important point that everybody should take from this conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So you talked about the big risk for baby, which is stillbirth, potentially. Are there any particular risk for mom?
For mom, If you indeed have cholestasis of pregnancy, pregnancies complicated by cholestasis of pregnancy are also at risk for preeclampsia and gestational diabetes. So there is a connection there. Doesn't mean you won't get either of these, you know, but there is a higher chance that you may. But prior studies have shown an increased risk of bleeding around the time of delivery. But recent studies have really shown this risk is very low with treatment of intrahepatic cholestasis of pregnancy. So in other words, in the past, there's been, you know, hemorrhaging as a potential risk for moms with ICP.
Yeah, definitely. Those I often, or not infrequently, I would say preeclampsia, for sure, of those things is what I've seen in my career the most. But it can absolutely be associated with other conditions that we have to be on the lookout for. And then, yes, unfortunately, that risk of stillbirth is there, which kind of leads us into the discussion of what do we do when it's diagnosed and how do we manage it?
Yeah, so just the risks for baby are obviously quite different. But so cholestasis of pregnancy is treated. So the treatment for it includes medication. It's ursodeoxycholic acid. And in the U.S., it's
It's
called. And early delivery are quite critical for managing, depending on the bile acid level. And it all depends on the bile acid level. So the risks increase as the bile acids increase. And just the medicine itself has been proven safe for both parent and baby, and it improves symptoms and for the majority of patients, but not everybody. But however, there is, you know, therapeutic and benefits for the baby, and you know, you want to kind of have that opportunity to be able to cook the baby as long as you can. You know, so early delivery again typically occurs in weeks between 36 and 39 weeks, depending on the severity of the intrahepatic cholestasis of pregnancy. And again, really working with your doctor, really having that the blood test, you know, retaken to be able to monitor your bile acid levels to really make a decision. And also, we've already talked about this. This is a really sore spot in regards to just the blood test, how long it takes to receive for some patients. It's really frustrating. Yeah. And healthcare providers have actually, you know, communicated that to us when we've gone to conferences. Mm-hmm. And again, it's just something that we've been working on. And there's also another organization that's working with Yale University to see if, you know,
come up with a faster test.
Things can be done in-house, in hospitals.
Yeah, it generally takes like 3 or 4 days for the test to come back, which can be very, very frustrating when you're looking for answers. So for sure that...
Exactly, because time is of the essence, right?
Definitely.
With this, especially when the risk is stillbirth is... Oh,
definitely,
critical.
Definitely. And, you know, we won't say that the risk of stillbirth it's not high, but it's certainly higher. Obviously, that's why we're concerned. And obviously, as we know from Donna's story, it's not zero and it does happen. So it is something that we absolutely have to be aware of and take seriously. You've heard me say it before, pregnancy is not the time to settle, especially not when it comes to what you're putting in your body. That's why I recommend Rituals Essential Prenatal. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only one of the top brands backed by its own 24-week human clinical trial. That means it's not just marketing, it's evidence. This is a prenatal I trust. It's got traceable ingredients, a science-backed formula, and it's designed to be easy on the stomach. I love that it's third-party tested and thoughtfully formulated to actually support you and your baby during this critical time. If you're pregnant or trying to get pregnant, this is an easy choice. Don't settle for less than evidence-based support. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/Dr. Nicole. Start Ritual or add Essential Prenatal to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/Dr. Nicole for 25% off. Pregnancy comes with a lot of pressure and opinions. If you're feeling overwhelmed, I'm here to help you anchor into your power. The Birth with Power Mindset Bundle gives you real tools that work, like my Mama Mindset Manual with simple practices to calm your mind, ease fear, and reconnect with your body. You'll also get 2 amazing affirmations audio tracks, one for pregnancy, one for birth, to keep you grounded through it all. Get the bundle now for just $37 at drnicolerankins.com/calm. I'm curious, do you mind sharing, like, are there any particular stories? I know you have a community of folks that have had this that resonate or come from the story that you feel like other people should know or learn from. I'm kind of throwing this one. This isn't one of the questions I was thinking about, but as you mentioned community, what are some things that you've seen throughout the years that have just been like, oh my goodness, or I'm glad that person advocated for themselves, or anything that has stood out over the time of your nonprofit?
The stories in our support group that I've heard throughout the years, not only me, just, you know, our team of support group volunteers that are there really helping other moms. We've heard so many stories, but throughout the years, it's been consistently improving, I would say, in regards to having moms advocate for themselves, you know, with the help of just the resources and you know, the internet has a vast amount of, mm-hmm. of information, but just really being connected to the nonprofit and the support group and having the community and being able to ask questions, being able to get answers and just encourage and being given evidence-based information is so amazing, because this way they can have that information to give to their healthcare provider and communicate and make a, you know, best decision. But just there's been so many stories, you know, some very, very heart-wrenching stories that I can tell you during COVID that happened. And you know, that just, again, because of the lack of communication and being able to be in the setting, a normal setting, instead of just telehealth. You know, just babies passing away, unfortunately, and just
that's sad.
Yeah. Things like that. But again, there's so many stories. But advocacy is, mm-hmm. is critical, and just finding your community, finding the support, and guess what? Just having your mom, your husband, or a family member be there with you on the appointment, to be your support group, to be your mm-hmm. cheerleader, in case, you know, the doctors, you know. And just maybe you feel like you need mm-hmm. just more support, and then you just feel a little more courageous and more able to advocate for yourself. Or they can speak for definitely. You, you know? Because I think when you're pregnant, just you're in such a mm-hmm. delicate state. Because I remember myself being pregnant mm-hmm. for the first time, you know, and just being in such a delicate state, and you want to protect your baby. You're just like, and then your body, you have this high-risk pregnancy, and you're just like,
right.
what?
Exactly.
But having the support group of family and just, it's just
definitely
amazing,
for sure. You always want to have somebody who can, I mean, if you can, who can help advocate for you if need be, or just a second ear, because sometimes you may not hear everything. All of those things are really, really important. Really, really important. So how likely is cholestasis, how likely is it to recur?
It varies, you know. So the information that's out there, it varies in regards to anywhere from 60 to 90% recurrence rate. It is known that women who have ICP in one pregnancy are very likely to develop it again in a subsequent pregnancy. That doesn't mean that it's going to definitely happen 100%.
Sure.
But for example, in my case, I've had severe cholestasis in pregnancy, and I've had it in all my pregnancies, so all three.
Really?
Yeah. And the norm within our community, from stories and everybody that's shared, you know, those times that I see those posts are like, we had an ICP pregnancy. I'm just like, I'm just like cheering them on. And I send them like, sometimes when I'm in the group and I see it, I'll put a message and I'm like, I'm so happy that, you know, you got to experience a ICP free pregnancy. And, you know, we're so happy for you.
Right.
But it's just amazing when that does happen. And it does. And it's interestingly enough, we had a volunteer in our group years back. She had 4 pregnancies, and she had all cholestasis. And then her fifth one, ICP-free. I was like,
interesting.
Wow, amazing.
That just tells you we don't know what, I mean, we can guess, but we don't always know what's going to happen from pregnancy to pregnancy.
Definitely.
Yeah. Now, what was your experience like with it, with your second two? Did it develop around the same time, or was it any worse or anything like that?
For me, it was interesting because with my second son, I was monitored, you know, with blood tests earlier on. I already knew if I had a little bit of tingling of an itch or anywhere, I was like, okay, that was just like my antenna was up just to get really, you know, tested and to make sure that I was diagnosed earlier. But that I was able to get diagnosed earlier with him because I already knew. And with him, I would say that being diagnosed earlier and then just getting the medicine, which I hadn't gotten my first, was definitely different. And I felt, I would say, safer, you know, for him. Like I felt it was safer. And he was actually born at 35 weeks and 5 days. And with my second, I honestly, my third, excuse me, my son, Evan, he actually, I thought that because I wasn't itching right away or early on, I was just like, maybe I'm not going to get this. Maybe it's going to skip. But interestingly enough, with him, because, you know, one of the risks of cholestasis is preterm labor. And actually, when I was 30 weeks pregnant with him, I was having contractions. And I went to the hospital. They gave me an IV to stop and help me stop the labor. And that actually happened again at 31 weeks. So with him, I hadn't experienced the itching early on, but I did end up having this preterm labor, which is, again, one of the risks or symptoms, whatever you want to kind of put it together. But I did end up having itching with him. It did kind of show up during my 35 weeks. It was quite late. And again, I didn't itch a lot. And then he was born at 36 weeks. So that was a difference.
Definitely. Okay. All right. Yeah. Every pregnancy is different. It sounds like you experienced the whole gamut. For sure. So is there anything that can be done to prevent, let's have this discussion, prevent ICP at all or prevent it from happening again?
Yeah, well, there's no research to really show that it can be prevented. However, there are community members in our that have shared just their experience and how they feel that what they did that helped them possibly, you know, kind of improve their odds in regards to their health and their pregnancy. So some of those include just eating healthier, you know, taking some herbs, or again, working with somebody that knows about all that stuff, naturopath or whatnot, and just doing other things that, again, that may help. So, but no, there is no research to show it can be prevented.
Is there any research being done? I'm not aware of any, maybe, or much, maybe you know, that is done to better understand and treat this condition.
Yeah, so the research that's happening now, it's interesting because there is, there's a new, drug that therapy that's kind of out there to see if it's, that can help in a different way than URSO does. And again, more research is needed in this case, but they're looking into IBAT inhibitors. So it's a class of drug that block the reabsorption of bile acids in the small intestine. So in other words, what happens is it's kind of redirected and then you're able to kind of like excrete the extra bile acids through your stool. But that's the research that's happening in that regard. And I know that what I had mentioned earlier regarding the bile acid blood test, that, again, the sore spot of the results coming back so late. This isn't necessarily research on cholestasis, but it's research on just having sooner available bile acid blood tests. And that can happen within the hospital setting. If you have a kit, it just has, you know, the machines that most hospitals have can just be recalibrated, and there's a little kit to be able to get results pretty much, you know, within the 24 hours. So I know that that's something that's been done in hospitals in North Carolina, I believe, or South Carolina, I forgot which one it was. And I think that Yale is working on kind of like pushing to see if that can happen and get kind of...
You can get faster results. You
know, made a reality. Because it makes such a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Time makes a big difference in this condition. So definitely important. Hot sleepers, listen up. This one is for you. You probably know Avocado Green Mattress for their organic mattresses. They're amazing. But did you know that they also make breathable, natural bedding that'll completely upgrade how you sleep this summer? I am talking buttery soft organic cotton sheets, light as air, silk duvets, and down that's so breathable it feels like you are sleeping under a cloud. And listen, this isn't just about getting cozy, it's about knowing exactly what you're bringing into your home. Avocado uses certified organic and ethically sourced materials, so you're not sleeping in chemicals or mystery fabrics. Just clean, sustainable comfort that actually supports your health and the planet. So if you're swapping sweaters for sandals, it might be time to refresh your bedding too. Sleep cooler, feel better, and rest easier because you deserve that. Head to avocadomattress.com today to save 10% on all bedding and 50% on clearance bedding. Avocado, dream of better. Some days pregnancy feels beautiful. Other days, it's just a lot. That's why I created the Birth with Power Mindset Bundle, your reset button when fear or overwhelm creeps in. Inside, you'll find my Mama Mindset Manual with calming meditations, grounding affirmations, gentle movement prompts, and reflections to bring you back to center, plus two powerful affirmations audio tracks to support you through pregnancy and birth. Grab the bundle now for only $37 at drnicolerankins.com/calm. And then what can partners do to support someone who has ICP?
Yeah, so partners could definitely be such a wonderful, amazing support system. You know, just going to the doctors with your spouse is amazing, your partner. You know, help them relieve the itch as much as you can. Offer to put on some of that lotion that is helpful to relieve the itch. And again, it's not going to get rid of the itch, but at least it relieves it. You know, place a humidifier in the room. You know, refill their ice bags to help alleviate the itching, because a lot of times some of you may think, like, what is she talking about, ice bags? Well, let me tell you what it is to be a cholestasis pregnancy mom. Pretty much, you know, to relieve and to kind of dull out the itching, what we end up doing is we get ice. We either can put our little feet or little hands in, you know, into cold, you know, ice buckets, or, you know, little portable little ice packs. We can put them on our hands and our feet. I actually did that in my pregnancies. And so it just, again, it alleviates. And so, for sure, partners can help to maybe hire somebody to cook, to clean, to take care of you. If they already have kids, take care of the other kids. Allow them to take a nap, because unfortunately it does disrupt your sleep at night because of the itching. And then if indeed you have to go to work the next day, you know, support, just knowing their needs.
Definitely. And even though it's something that you can't necessarily, I guess, see physically that something is happening, that it's a real thing. And there, it's not like a, you know, crazy pregnancy brain or anything like that. It's a real condition that needs to be taken seriously.
Yeah, definitely. Patience.
Yeah. So then as we wrap up, what would you say is the most frustrating part of this work you do with your nonprofit?
I'm just going to bring it back to the same thing as before. The bile acid blood test, the length of time to receive the result, because time is of the essence, like I mentioned. And it's really frustrating, and just to see within our support group community how the moms, you know, just worry, and then they mentioned the same thing about, you know, having the blood results take so long, and then just being concerned about the decisions and not knowing just the real time, you know, bile acid results and how they are at that time. Because, you know, decisions need to be made, especially if you're further along, because, you know, if the bile acids are indeed in the severe range, if they weren't before, then management needs to be changed. You need to decide to induce sooner, make decisions to, again, to keep the baby safe.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Then on the flip side, what would you say is the most rewarding part of your work?
So the most rewarding is, like, there's so many, but our mission is to definitely save lives, you know, save the lives of innocent, precious, beautiful babies. You know, this is why, this is my why. And just working with an amazing team of passionate board members, volunteers, and ambassadors are, you know, we're all such powerful advocates for the cause, and we're helping so many families, in, you know, in the world. And it's just so rewarding, honestly.
Yeah,
just amazing.
Yeah, for sure. So then what is your favorite piece of advice that you would like to give to an expectant mom or family so that they can best use their power to during their pregnancy and their birth?
Yeah, so for sure, definitely, you know your body. I always say this, you know your body the best. There's nobody else can say, you know, this is how you're feeling, this is what's normal for you, because you know your body the best. And that's really something you need to honor and really validate within yourself. And so we must be advocates for our baby. You know, your intuition as a mom, as a parent, is always there to guide you. And, you know, never allowing anybody to just talk you out of something that you genuinely feel in your gut.
Definitely.
And, you know, and if you're itching during pregnancy, you know, maybe cholecystic pregnancy, if somebody's out there and itching, and a simple blood test can be requested. And if symptoms persist, like we talked about before, it's so critical and important, ask for another blood test. You know, second one, a third one, a fourth one, do it. And if indeed, you know, I always like to just say this because, you know, healthcare providers are amazing. There are different levels of healthcare providers. They're specialists or high-risk pregnancy doctors, maternal fetal medicine specialists. You can always get a consultation or consult with another one. Get a second opinion. Don't ever feel that you can't and that you're trapped and you're powerless.
Yeah.
Because you're not. There's tons of other doctors out there that can take your case on or get a consultation.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, put your mind at ease.
Yep.
So important.
Great point. So then where can people find you and find more information about you and your organization?
Definitely a website, icbcare.org. We have amazing evidence-based resources. We have support groups. We have free downloadable information, brochures. We also have a new program that we started, which are free pamphlets, brochures that can be actually mailed to you. You know, we can be found on Facebook, on Instagram, Twitter. We have an amazing YouTube channel that has stories that can really allow you just to connect in a different way. And our support groups are the main really area that I always love pointing everybody to, because that's where you're going to, you know, find your community, find other moms who you can relate to. Like, you know, the other moms that are pregnant can't really relate to cholecystic or pregnancy mom because of just the dynamics of everything that's involved, you know?
Yeah.
We are on TikTok and LinkedIn.
Okay, you are everywhere. Okay.
Pretty much. ICP care.
You are everywhere. Great, great, great. Well, thank you so much, Donna, for agreeing to come onto the podcast. This is just such an important topic that people need to know about. So I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you, Nicole, and all you're doing. Just so excited to have your community receive all this information on cholecystic pregnancy, to spread awareness, to really allow other moms just to understand that itching in pregnancy is normal, but hey, it could very well be a high-risk pregnancy condition that you need to bring to the attention to your doctor and talk about your symptoms.
Yep, exactly, exactly. That was a really informative episode. So appreciate Donna coming on. And you know, after every episode, when I have a guest on, I do something called Dr. Nicole's Notes, which are my top takeaways from the conversation. Here are my Dr. Nicole's Notes from my conversation with Donna. Number one, definitely pay attention to unusual itching. Intense, persistent itching especially on the palms of your hands or the soles of your feet or unusual places, like really bad in your scalp or your inner ears, that could be a red flag for cholestasis. So do not ignore it. Always bring that up with your doctor or midwife. Okay, number two, trust your intuition and advocate hard if you need to. Donna reminds us, you know your body best. I have always said, I am an expert in obstetrics, hands down, period, full stop. But you are an expert on you, also hands down, period, full stop. So if something feels off, speak up. You may need to ask for a blood test. And if results come back normal, but symptoms persist, you may need to get blood tests again. Self-advocacy, not just in this condition, but in general, whether you're pregnant or not, can literally be life-saving. So trust your intuition always and advocate hard if you need to get those answers. Okay, number four. Early delivery is important. I know that there can be a lot of anxiety or concern about induction and having a delivery early, but please know that this is really a standard treatment that can significantly reduce the risk. Those medications like ursodiol can reduce symptoms, but early delivery, and often between 36 to 37 weeks, depending on the severity of the cholestasis, can really be life-saving. The risk of stillbirth can be as high as 3%, especially if the bile acids are really high. And that may not seem like a huge number, but that could be anywhere from 100 to 200 stillbirths a year in the US that would be avoided by induction. So this is not something to take lightly. Early delivery really is a evidence-based approach to treating cholestasis of pregnancy and making sure you decrease that higher risk of stillbirth. And then the final thing I want to talk about, and this may sound a little bit out of place or weird, but let's just talk about it. And I'm talking about those portal lab results. You're like, what? What are you talking about, portal lab results? Well, because of a law passed a few years ago, you can now get immediate access to your lab results through your patient portal, whether it's your LabCorp patient portal or your doctor's office's patient portal. And sometimes those results will show up at weird times. It's after hours or even on weekends, and it may be before your doctor sees them. Now, in most cases, I recommend that you wait to contact your doctor during normal business hours if you see lab results that pop up in your portal in an off time that are concerning to you. However, in this instance, a very elevated bile acid is different. If you're 36 weeks pregnant or later, and you see that you get this lab result and your bile acids are really high, go ahead and call the on-call doctor, maybe even head to the hospital if you can't get a hold of the on-call doctor, because if you are 36 weeks or later, they are probably going to want to recommend and appropriately recommend labor induction. So in general, no, you don't have to call nights, weekends when you see those things pop up. But in this case, with that bile acid level, go ahead and call the on-call doctor or midwife when you see those results. Okay, that's it for this episode. If this show has helped you feel more calm, more confident, more empowered, the best way to show your love is to subscribe, leave that quick review, and share it with a friend. This may not seem like a big deal to do those things, but those simple acts actually make a huge impact for me and for helping more moms to be find birth with power and get the support they deserve. And if we're not connected yet, come follow me. Join my community on Instagram at Dr. Nicole Rankins. I've got great tips there, real talk, encouragement waiting for you. It's a great compliment to the podcast. Plus, my DMs are open. I really, really do love to hear from you. And then do me that one last favor and come on back next week. Remember, trust your power and take charge of your birth.
You love to travel? Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. and with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.